Welcome to the Yellow Jackets Hive. I'm Media Melanie here with.
And I'm Emily.
And we are here today with some TV buzz. Thought it might be fun to talk about something different than Yellow Jackets since, you know, we're not getting it till 2025.
I know.
But Emily, what better a show to talk about than Fallout?
Yeah, I mean, I was immediately excited when I saw, because anything that any of the cast is in, I always want to watch.
Exactly. So. And Ella Purnell is front and center. I mean, she is the lead. She is playing Lucy. And I just finally got to watch the pilot. I know all eight episodes are currently available. But yeah. Today we're just going to kind of focus on the pilot since it's pretty new and we didn't have a chance to watch the whole thing. But if you guys are interested, we thought maybe we would do another episode where we kind of break down the season. So if you guys are interested, drop a comment, let us know. If there's enough interest, I think that's definitely something that we could do. So
yeah.
What up, Kennedy? Hi, thanks, Kennedy, for joining us. And of course, we've got our friend Julie backstage, one of our patrons. We always appreciate her buzzing in. So appreciate that. Before we dive into Fallout, Emily, what other shows have you been watching?
I really have not been watching a ton of TV lately. I just started working and I'm in school, and now that baseball's back on, like, that's pretty much what I watch at night. So
yeah, baseball, love having baseball season back. Of course, you know, I'm a Padres fan, you're a Phillies fan, and we've talked about making some friendly wagers. So if anybody out there has some fun things that, you know, Emily and I could wager against each other, maybe like a fun little social media thing that we have to do when the Padres lose the series against the Phillies or vice versa, might be kind of fun. I don't know.
Yeah. I am totally game for that. And I am up for all suggestions. It would be really fun for people to send in things that they would want us to do.
I love a fun wager. I love, you know, bets and being competitive and whatnot. So I think that would be really fun. But I'm in the middle of a move. I had surgery last month. I haven't had as much time to watch TV either, but just highlighting a couple things I have seen. The Girls on the Bus on Max is like the cutest show.
Yeah.
It follows a group of journalist women who are following around some presidential candidates on the campaign trail. Okay. And it's funny. It's smart. It's light. It kind of mixes things up a little if you're into the dark watches, you know, like we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Ripley and Sugar, I started watching as well. Ripley is on Netflix. It's based on the books and is another adaptation similar to The Talented Mr. Ripley, the Matt Damon film. But it's all in black and white. It's just cinematically beautiful. The pacing starts out a little bit slow, but I'm on episode 3. I'm really enjoying it. And it's pretty good. Same with Sugar, Apple TV Plus, Colin Farrell. He plays this cinephile private detective. It's a modern day story, but it feels very old Hollywood. Yeah. They intersperse scenes from like classic Hollywood movies in it. So it's good. It's got mystery, intrigue, and it just feels very like masterfully done, I guess. So they're both really good. Highly recommend.
Okay. And what are they on again? Max, and what's Sugar on?
Sugar's on Apple TV Plus, Ripley is on Netflix, and The Girls on the Bus is on Max. So a few different options. You know, if you're looking for something more lighthearted, The Girls on the Bus is great. The other two are like more dark, like neo-noir type of movies or shows. So
yeah.
But I'm excited to have Fallout on the list. Now, you know, we've got an entire season to watch. Of course, our girl, Ella Purnell, who we all know is Jackie from Yellow Jackets, is the star. And do you want to start off by reading a little summary of what the show is about, Emily?
Yeah, sure. So, hold on. Sorry. Let me get up to the top of the notes. It's based on one of the greatest video game series of all time. Fallout is the story of haves and have-nots in a world in which there's almost nothing left to have. 200 years after the apocalypse, a peaceful denizen from a cozy Fallout shelter is forced to return to the surface and is shocked to discover the wasteland waiting for her. Now, my husband and I were literally just talking about this like right before we started recording, and we were trying to figure out in the very beginning of the show, before the bomb happens, that everything looked like it was taking place in like the 1960s. Like
it's set in the 50s. Yes, it is totally set in the 50s. It's okay. During the Cold War, like Red Scare type of
That's what time. I thought. That's what yes. I thought. Okay.
Yep. So it seems like everybody's kind of on the edge about a nuclear fallout. The show opens. There's a kid's birthday party. And mm-hmm. some of the parents are actually inside watching the TV. The mom says, hey, let's all focus on the party. So there's obviously some things happening in the world. Yeah. It is the Cold War era. So like I said, it opens at this kid's birthday party. We see Walter Goggins, who plays kind of a washed up former TV star, and he's slumming it as the kid's birthday party entertainment as like a cowboy. And you can tell it's definitely something that's beneath him. Oh, yeah. The other parents are, you know, kind of like, oh, look at him now. Some fallen, you know, TV star that's here, you know, entertaining these young kids. So the party's happening, and then all of a sudden in the distance, his daughter sees the mushroom cloud starting. There's all of these explosions or nuclear blasts. The mushroom clouds start, you know, coming up. He takes off on a horse with mm-hmm. his daughter into the apocalyptic, you know, horizon or whatever. And yeah, and then fast forward 200 years and we start seeing the people in the actual fallout shelter.
I really hope that throughout the course of the rest of this season or series, that they go back and they show us what happened immediately after the blast happened, because I want to know what happened to his daughter. Like, how did he manage to survive that in the first place? I mean, he was so horribly disfigured, and how is he still alive 200 years later? Like,
that is so many questions. Really good question. Like, the man has no nose. I mean, that's clear. It's 200 years later, and his role, Walter Goggins, he plays a character called the Ghoul. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, that must mean, you know, this is based on a video game, right? So yeah. As with Yellow Jackets, suspension of disbelief. So obviously Either the guy got impacted by some crazy like nuclear thing and he just managed to survive, or it's a literal ghoul ghost and we just suspend disbelief. But
yeah,
I mean, I imagine like The Walking Dead, we'll get some of this backstory eventually with the characters. So yeah,
I think so too.
We'll end up getting some answers about that. But overall, I feel like you did not watch Silo yet, right? On Apple mm-hmm. TV Plus. This reminds me kind of like a mix of Silo and The Last of Us. But maybe a little less character and like dramatic development. It's action packed. I mean, the pilot flew by for me. I mean, it was over.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't look at my phone. I watched the entire thing. It was compelling and funny. Yeah. How funny is it? I mean, I love
it. Elle Fernell was really funny. Like, she did a really good job of being funny. Like, when she married that guy and they went into the bedroom and they were like getting ready to have sex, she's like, okie dokie. Like, it was so awkward.
I know, it's like they're in this time capsule. I mean, you know, people have generationally been in this fallout shelter for 200 years and they still seem to be living this innocent type of lifestyle they did in the 50s, you know. Very innocent and very different from what we end up seeing on the surface once mm-hmm. Lucy ends up going up there. She's living in a place called Vault 33. So mm-hmm. that leads me to believe, like Silo, there are multiple vaults underground. We know
that's how it is in Silo too.
Yes. And I'm going to backtrack that statement for a quick second, because that may or may not be a spoiler alert. And I did not mean to say that. So apologies. No,
but I mean, in the episode, we're introduced to people from Vault 32.
Vault 32. So, like, yes.
I was under the assumption there were multiple ones.
Yes. Definitely multiples in Fallout. But in Silo, like, that's actually a little bit of a spoiler that there's more people underground. Okay, so yeah, I mean, my bad. I'm trying not, you know, sorry. Spoiler alert, late. But yeah, Lucy, I keep wanting to call Ella Purnell Jackie. Her name is not Jackie, it is Lucy. Lucy is at the age of marriage, apparently, and for some reason mm-hmm. she can't find a husband in her own vault underground. And I'm thinking to myself, why? She's like cute, she's funny. How is Lucy having trouble finding an underground husband? Slim Pickens?
It seems like everybody in that vault was almost related, because that guy that said that he was in love with her was her cousin. And right. She made a comment how like messing around with your cousin when you're a kid is all fun and games, but like it's not a sustainable partner like as an adult. And it's weird.
Yes. And you know what? To that point, it does make sense. If there are a lot of relatives in there, obviously you don't want to be marrying your cousin. We don't want any, you know, more genetic mutations happening down in the fallout shelters. So,
and that seemed to be really important to them, like keeping going the population and keeping having babies. That woman was pregnant, like her friend was pregnant. It seems like that's a really important part of their culture.
Yeah, I mean, they have to carry on humanity, essentially. Yeah. And so they show the wedding. They have Lucy in this wedding dress getting married. And like you said, her wedding night. And
did you think before it was revealed that those people were raiders that anything was wrong? Because when they showed them sitting in at the reception and they were all mixed in with all the other people, they looked very dirty and unkempt and they just looked off. Like I got an unsettling feeling when I looked at these people, but I didn't know why. I didn't suspect that they were like raiders or anything like that, but it just seemed really off. And then obviously when her brother goes in to the other vault and looks around and sees how everything is destroyed, he realized that something was really wrong.
Right. And unfortunately, by that time, it's too late because violence ensues. And essentially, what do they call the people on the surface? The surface dwellers, I guess we'll call them. I think there's a different name for them, or the wasteland dwellers or something. So the people on the surface, you know, essentially conquered this other vault and they're trying to do the same for Vault 33. And it seems like Lucy's dad was like one of the people in charge down there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And he ends up, they end up taking him prisoner. So he ends up kind of disappearing. Bunch of people end up dying. And what's funny to me about it was the fallout of that, right? When they're dragging all the bodies out, they're taking down the bloody posters, they're hanging everything up, kind of like nothing even happened. So does that mean this must have probably happened before too? I mean, maybe.
Yeah. And I also wondered, like, what are these raiders really after? Like, why are they doing it in the first place? Are they just doing it to kill people for the sake of killing people? Or do they want something from these people? Because since they took that man, it makes me think they want something from them.
Yeah, and maybe just more than their resources, right? Because we do end up seeing what the surface looks like, and it's an utter wasteland up there. I mean, it's not pretty. They've been living pretty cozy down there, you know, as denizens in their fallout shelter. So it's like night and day, literally, from the surface to underneath.
But people were obviously able to survive on the surface somehow because of that guy. He was clearly on the surface and like he looks completely normal to me. He doesn't look like he was affected by any radiation or anything like that. And the Lucy's dad made the comment at the wedding reception that her children's generation would be able to go back on the surface and the levels of radiation would be low enough that they could live up there again. So I don't know if maybe that has something to do with it. Like maybe they're low enough that you can survive. I don't know a whole lot about radiation, so.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you know, probably some suspension of disbelief. And you're going to want to watch Silo, I feel like, while you're watching this or after you're watching this, because there are just so many strong similarities between the two. I loved Silo. It really like got me into kind of the sci-fi thing. So I don't know, just a little side note. But some of the other cast members in Fallout, which I'm really looking forward to meeting, Michael Emerson is one of them, who we've not met yet. He plays a character called Wilzig. And I love Michael Emerson. I mean, I love him from Lost.
Oh, yeah.
Interest. He's an Evil on Paramount Plus, which, by the way, Evil Season 4 is dropping on May 23rd. Final season of the show, and I can't wait. Emily, you've got to get back to watching
it. I know. I really do. Because what I've seen of it, I really enjoyed. And I saw his character in Evil, like, already. And he kind of reminded me of Ben from Lost a little bit. Like,
He's got that look about him. I feel like he's always playing a character that has a little bit more under the surface, usually something a little bit sinister. He's just got that whole vibe going. But I can't wait to meet Michael Emerson's character. Of course, we have met Lucy, Ella Purnell. Moises Arias plays Norm, who is
Lucy's brother.
Character. Wrong picture. Maybe we don't have one of him. That's okay.
I don't think I put one of him in there.
Yeah, no, that's okay. And Aaron Moton plays Maximus, who's this person here.
Yes.
And then Kyle MacLachlan plays Hank, who's Lucy's dad. So those are kind of some of the characters we've met so far. And Lucy's character, I pulled a description from the show itself. Do you want to just read a little bit, Emily, about the character of Lucy played by Ella Purnell?
A resident of Vault 33, Lucy actively contributes to the well-being of her community. She participates in the Young Pikers Association, gymnastics club, fencing team, intermediate phys ed, and riflery. Her primary passion is teaching American history with a focus on ethics. In her personal time, she watches movies with her dad, gardens, also with her dad, and enjoys family book club, again with her dad. Norm chooses not to participate. She's upbeat and uncannily direct with an all-American can-do spirit. And let me just say that Ella Purnell's American accent is so good.
It is so good. I mean, sometimes it's a little cringy, you know, hearing Americans with their British accent or, you know, Brits with their American accent. But yeah, she totally nails it.
I mean, she nailed it in Yellow Jackets too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sure. Kennedy, this is what I was thinking in my head. Moises, whatever his last name is, played a character on Hannah Montana.
Did not watch Hannah Montana, but man, like, little side note, that Quiet on the Set, the Nickelodeon documentary, freaking alarming.
Did you watch all of it?
I've watched it, and it just, like, jaw dropped. I knew what it was about, of course, but eek. I mean, talk about
it. I just actually listened to an audiobook by Jeanette McCurdy, who I don't know if she was in Quiet on the Set, but she used to be on Nickelodeon, and it was called I'm Glad My Mom Died, and it was such a good book. Like, she talks all about her, like, exploitation on Nickelodeon and stuff, and it was really good.
Yeah, it was hard to watch, but I grew up Nickelodeon, so I kind of feel like I had to. So, yeah, like, woof, gosh, that was pretty alarming. But back to Lucy's description really quick and her character, like, the all-Americanness of it, you know, it reminds me of Jackie a little bit. I mean,
kinda.
It's not too far off. You know, she's in the Young Pikers Association, the gymnastics club, the fencing team, like an overachiever, very much like Jackie.
Yeah, because Jackie was the team captain of the soccer, like, of the soccer team. You know, she was prom queen or homecoming queen, whatever. She had to be in other clubs and organizations throughout school, probably student council. She probably played other sports. She was involved in everything. She was one of those girls.
Yep. And I just think this role works so well for Ella Purnell. She's so likable. She's so believable. And she is so funny. I mean, I just could not be happier for her landing this starring role. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah,
it's
really huge, especially considering how well the show is doing already. It's it's number one on Amazon right now, and I can't wait to watch the rest of it. Like, the pilot drew me in completely, and my husband played the video game. He played it years ago, but he remembers some of it.
And like I said, like, I've never played video games, but like The Last of Us, I loved that show without having played the game. And I feel like it's going to be the same thing, you know, for Fallout. And there's a lot of good TV right now in general. I did my call-in segment earlier on 97.3 The Fan and gave my recommendation for the week there. I call in every week with a streaming pick, and I did Sugar. But we were talking about how this window of time is Emmy consideration window time. Yeah. So a lot of these new shows that are coming out rapid fire right now, and there's a lot of them, are going to be in contention. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see Fallout there. Same with Ripley on Netflix. I mean, I just feel like it's going to be one of those shows that just, you know, that really takes the award season. Of course, yeah. Yellow Jackets is not going to be in consideration for this Emmys window, unfortunately. So, boo.
Really? They aren't? When is the window again?
I think it just opened up. I think because they were in contention for the last round that they won't have a season that's current enough to be considered for this next one. True. I could be wrong, but I think that that's
no, accurate. You're right. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this just feels like such a nice combination, like I said, of Silo, of The Last of Us. And it's got the sci-fi, it's got a little bit of mystery because you're not really sure what's happening. But what really sets it apart for me is the humor. It is, mm-hmm. I mean, I've said it three times now, it's really funny for such dark post-apocalyptic subject matter. They really nail the comedicness of it all.
And a lot of that was Ella. A lot of that really was Ella. She, yes, Alan, she has great comedic timing. So good. Yep. It is spot on.
Yep. And it cuts against the violence. It helps balance it out a little bit. And it's not too dramatic, which I really like, because some of these shows can just be so dark and dramatic, but it has this lightness to it. It just feels so good.
How did she manage to survive being stabbed in the stomach like that? Like, she gave herself a shot of something. And what did that do? Did that like clot her blood so she wouldn't bleed out? Or like, was it for pain? Because she just like stuck staples in her stomach and just went about her day like nothing happened.
That is a really good question. And I felt the same way when it happened. First of all, I'm like, well, first, there's no way they're going to kill her. Obviously, she's going to survive the stab wound because she's the star of the show. So, you know, from that perspective, you know, she's going to be fine. But the suspension of disbelief to have not had that knife go through her organs and have her die and bleed out.
So long. It was really long. Like, it looked like it would have been long enough to poke through her entire body.
Very long knife. Very long knife. And I don't know what the shot was. It must have been some kind of either a painkiller or an anti-infection, antibiotic type of thing. But she recovers pretty quickly from it. I mean, all I'm saying is... I get like stabbed.
Beating people up.
Yeah. I mean, she grabs a gun. She's totally this badass.
Yeah.
Who's also funny, who's also this all-American person in her, you know, little fallout shelter. She's got it all. I mean, everything. And can we just talk about the colors here? Like the blue and the yellow. I mean, that's what struck me when the advertisements first came out, too, was... I mean, Yellow Jackets colors. I see peaks of it behind you with your varsity jacket there.
Yes.
It's not too far off from, you know, Jackie in her varsity jacket. I mean, just saying.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch the rest. I'm probably going to watch more tonight.
Oh, I wish I could. We're like moving and this computer and my caboodle and this TV are one of the few things like left in the house. So yeah, I don't know what we're going to do about watching TV this weekend. Might have to kind of take it easy. But, oh, you know, Kennedy has a good point here regarding the stabbing of Lucy, or, you know, at least hit her kidney or something, right? Like it is crazy to me that we didn't penetrate any internal organs. Like
makes me think the shot was like something that would have to do with like stopping the bleeding, mm-hmm. because she really didn't bleed that much for a stab wound like that either.
No, it really didn't. I really liked the visual though of her walking around in this, you know, white pristine wedding dress, which by the way seems like there's one rotating wedding dress
and
the inside of it with the date, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, all these women are really keeping in shape down there to be able to fit into this like tiny little dress. I mean, that fitness on really point in the shelter. I mean, Ella is tiny, you know,
so tiny.
I mean, and this dress fits all of the Fallout women. Like, wow, good for them. Really keeping it tight down there.
So what do you think about this Maximus character?
Ooh, you know, I don't know. And I'm also confused a little bit about all of the technological stuff, right? So 200 years in the future, but how did they get like the technology to develop these robots? And I guess I mean, I don't have a lot of knowledge of the video game, so I'm not sure, but
there's a person inside there, right? I thought there was a person.
I think there's a person inside, but how did they get this robotic technology? Did it drop down from aliens or something? Or
the helicopters look like really futuristic too.
They look like spaceships, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. How would the surface dwellers on Earth be able to make all of those advances in a post-apocalyptic world? I just don't know. That's a really, really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and then the thing on her wrist with the radiation reading thing, I think it's funny. It's like when they look at it for the radiations, like they're just consulting their, you know, Apple Watch casually, but it's actually
my husband's watch screen is actually that on his watch. Like what she sees on her wrist, my husband has on his watch.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
I think he called it a Pep Boy. I think.
Okay. Oh,
okay. I see Julie shaking her head. Am I right?
Okay. Yeah, I just have no idea, but okay. I don't know why it cracks me up when they look at it like it's a watch or something, but it's not a watch.
I like feel for this Maximus character, like in some way already, like the way that old man kept treating him, and like he clearly had been through a lot of shit, like, and maybe he grew up with no parents. I mean, he said that like they gave him a home. So maybe his parents were killed by raiders or something when he was a kid, because he did say that he joined that organization because he wanted to get back at the people that hurt him. So right. Yeah. But I don't know. There's just something about him that like tugs on my heartstrings a little bit.
Yep. Oh, definitely. And what did they call the people on the surface? Like what they're training for? They search and archive things. They find and like archive.
They're called the Brotherhood, but I don't know what like their search and rescue title was. I can't remember.
Right. It's like they're enlisted to find things maybe mm-hmm. and preserve them or whatever, but I would just guess 200 years after the apocalypse, are they looking for artifacts from pre-apocalypse, or are they raiding other, you know, communities like in The Walking Dead or something? I'm not sure.
It's weird because like it's almost like it's a mixture of like future technology and past technology that they're using on the surface, because when that man hands him those papers to show him like what his target was, it was just a drawing of a guy's face, but it was done on paper with pencil.
Yes.
And
how do they have these things and they don't have computers?
Exactly. That's what I was wondering. Those were the questions going through my mind.
That is a really interesting juxtaposition of the old and the new, because again, you know, the initial society came from the 50s, and mm-hmm. the way they progressed over 200 years on the surface is in an essential wasteland of Los Angeles. And I was also surprised that when Lucy got to the surface, she could still see the remnants of the Santa Monica Ferris wheel. And I'm thinking,
that surprised me too. Like, really? Like, that's
outstanding. I think, of course, they just do it for the visual establishing, you know, what the setting is and whatnot. But that kind of struck me. But yeah.
Ooh. So we obviously haven't got to this point yet because we haven't watched past the first episode, but I gather from watching the trailers that Lucy and Maximus end up crossing paths at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited to see what happens when that happens.
I am too. And like I said, I think that they're doing a really good job so far of balancing telling the story with establishing this kind of mystery without going too deep into the characters right off the bat. Because something that sometimes bugs me is when they just dive too deep into some of the characters with the backstory while we're still getting to know them. And sometimes a more gradual reveal makes it more interesting, and there's more of a payoff, I think, that way. So I just like how they're doing it so far. And I guess what I would like to know from people who have played the video game is, you know, how closely does it go with the game? I'm just curious. I'm just not a gamer, so I don't know. But
I'm not either.
It's funny that I'm so into these video game adaptations. Maybe I should be a gamer. Maybe I'm just missing out here. Gosh, my 12-year-old would just love to hear me utter those words and get in on a nice game of Fortnite or whatever the kids are playing these days. But anyway.
I will say that watching my husband play The Last of Us was really cool. It was like watching a movie. It was very, very well done. And I sat and watched him play the whole time. Like, I would ask him to play because I wanted to know what happened next.
That's so funny. And The Last of Us feels like such a different show than Fallout because it's really not a science fiction. It's very much more into the character-driven storylines and whatnot. Whereas, you know, it's more dramatic. And Fallout, just, again, it feels so much lighter while also balancing the sci-fi and the dark apocalyptic times. So I'm here for it and I love it. And you know what? The other forever Live Hive rules. Thank you. We love the Live Hive. Live streaming is our favorite. And you know, we're not always perfect and we say weird things maybe sometimes, but more me.
We're human.
But yeah, we sure are. And we love being live. It is a good time and we always appreciate when you guys join us. So thank you for that. And I think we should do another, at least one more live stream of Fallout talk to talk about the rest of the season, or maybe we do a couple episodes at a time. We'll see. But
yeah, I think we should.
I think so too. I think it's really great. Kennedy had mentioned too, maybe time froze below in the 50s and it moves, you know, forward and up top in a way.
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case.
Yeah. Because it's like a time capsule under there in the Fallout shelter. Yeah. What is the movie with Brendan Fraser and Alicia Silverstone when they're in a...
Pleasantville? Is it Pleasantville?
That one is Reese Witherspoon. That one I think is different. That one's like the black and white one. But this one I feel like is a comedy. You know, I'm just going to Google it really quick here. Hold on. Let me see. Alicia Silverstone. Brendan Fraser. I feel like it's the same type. Oh, Blast from the Past. It was in 1999.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a rom-com. Yeah. He lived his entire life in confinement in a Fallout shelter in Pasadena, California. And then the family's rations grow thin and he goes to the surface. So it almost just has just a slight feel for me of that. And I haven't seen that movie in forever and it just popped into my mind. But the way that they pass the time. And, you know, Alan has another good point. We talked a minute ago about the Ferris wheel at Santa Monica. And he said, too, you can see the restaurant at LAX where the airport was as well. So I do think that they're using these geographical cues just for establishing, like, you know, the visual setting, even though we know it's LA.
So they're all in California then?
Yeah, it seems like they're all in California. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And I believe also, they filmed it in LA too, I think.
They did.
I think they used real LA locations. I believe I read that. Yes.
I read on a Instagram post that Ella shared today about the show, and she said that they traveled as far as Namibia in Africa, like to film.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Oh, maybe. Okay. Maybe then they weren't just filmed in LA. I'm crossing things here because Ripley was filmed in Italy, which was international. It was Sugar that was filmed all with the LA location. So I'm crossing my shows here. So many shows. And also thank you, Julie. I see that you did put in the comments Blast from the Past there. So thank you for being so on top of things back there. Really appreciate that. Episode one of Fallout. It was called.
What would you rate it out of 10?
Ooh. Pilot wise.
Yeah.
I thought it was solid. I mean, any show that you can watch without scrolling your phone, that you're interested in, that you're watching, and that leaves you wanting to watch more, I mean, I have to give it at least an 8.
Yeah, I was going to say 8.5.
I could go 8.5, give or take. But, I mean, it could end up being a solid 9 or 9.5, at the end. So, okay, these are our initial ratings. So you're at 8.5. I'm going to say an 8. So we'll circle back when we get to the end of it and give our overall ranking for the series and see, how we're liking it. Yeah. This is not a limited series, I don't think. I believe that there's a potential for subsequent seasons, I think.
I don't know. But, I mean, I would be really happy if that were the case. More Ella would be great.
Ooh, hey, Kim gives it a 9. Coming in strong, Kim. Ooh, I see that. Like, it's good. I think Ella Purnell just is perfection.
I know Kim's only watched the pilot because we talked earlier today, and she said she's only got that part 2.
Okay. Okay. And Kennedy's an 8 out of 10 for the pilot as well. And you know what, Kim? Didn't realize how much I missed Ella. Same here. We've been excited about this since we heard about it, but I mean, she really just like blew it away. Blew it away.
Yeah. And I mean, she's been in other stuff, but her other performances just like aren't as popular or well known. Like, right. I've seen her in another movie that I really enjoyed a lot, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. I can't remember the name of her. Emma, I think, is the name of her character in the movie. And yes, it's a story about this boy who, I can't really say too much without giving it away, but like these kids have special powers and she possesses the power where she floats. So she wears these like steel shoes that keep her on the ground all the time. And if she takes them off, she'll just flow into the air and float away. But she was great in that. And that was a pretty big role for her. It's good for kids. It's like definitely like geared for like teenagers. Yeah, it's good.
I have not seen that one. Another Ella Purnell work that we have on the list is Arcane, which amidst the escalating unrest between the rich utopian city of Piltover and the seedy oppressed underbelly of Zwan, sisters find themselves embroiled in a developing conflict over clashing convictions and arcane technologies. And Ella Purnell is the voice of Jinx. And I love how similar she looks to the cartoon character. I think that's really cool.
That was a very popular show for people who are into like comics and stuff like that. And it might have even been a video game. I can't remember if it was a video game or a comic or if it was tied to anything like that. But that was on Netflix and that was really popular.
I did not see that one, but I hear people talking about it or have seen on Twitter, you know, with Ella Purnell, other things that she stars in. And we've written some of those articles for other actors in Yellow Jackets. You did one recently on Melanie Lynskey and some of the other works that she's in. We did that on our Cord Cutting exclusive content. And Juliet Lewis is another one that you wrote an article on with some of her other works. So we did not do that for Ella, but here we are now highlighting some of them. So
yes,
boom. And the other one on that list, Emily, is Army of the Dead.
Yeah, this is another one that it was like, I don't know if I call it a cult classic, but it was popular in the horror genre for sure. I've never watched it, but after reading what it's about and reading the plot, I want to watch it, especially because it has Dave Bautista in it and I absolutely love Dave Bautista.
Ooh, yes. And what's funny about Army of the Dead is it's not dissimilar from Fallout.
It covers
the aftermath of a zombie outbreak in Las Vegas, not too far from Los Angeles, and some mercenaries who venture into the quarantine zone and hope to pull off a heist. And Ella Purnell plays Kate Ward, who's the daughter of the main character that you mentioned, played by Dave Bautista, which is funny because in Fallout, she plays the daughter of the guy who's in charge. There's another vault that comes in to raid them. It's kind of post-apocalyptic. So, you know, it seems to me, and again, I haven't seen it, but if you like Fallout with Ella Purnell, you might also want to watch Army of the Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. I'm all in on all of the Ella Purnell content right now. And, you know, which is a nice segue into just some Ella Purnell appreciation. Of course, you know, we wanted to kind of buzz about Fallout and the premiere and whatnot with Ella, touch on her other work. But we just want to do some appreciation of her as well for having played Jackie Taylor in Yellow Jackets.
She was the perfect Jackie.
Oh. There just could not have been a better Jackie. I think of other actors that could have been her, but there is just no comparison. I mean, we've talked about it before. The casting of Yellow Jackets is perfection.
Yes.
And Succession never should have beat Yellow Jackets for the casting Emmy. I think that is the biggest bullshit around. It is just complete bullshit. Now that I've watched
Now that you've watched it.
Yes, and it was good, but I mean, it's kind of the same storyline season after season, and they're given similar material to work with. Yes, they create these consistent characters and whatnot, but if we're looking a little more outside the box and the creativity of Yellow Jackets and what those characters are given to work with, I think they do a better job bringing the characters to life. So, that casting snub will just continue to bother me forever. Don't love that.
Yeah, that was a big one.
It was. It definitely was. If you had to pick a favorite Jackie quote or Jackie moment from Yellow Jackets, what do you think?
I really love the moment when it's right when they get to the cabin and she's like scratching her poison ivy on her leg. And she's like, if poison ivy is what kills me out here, then I deserve to die.
Love that line. And it turns out it was like a little bit of foreshadowing. I mean, she's, you know, like one of the first ones to die. And yeah, that was a nice little comedic gem. And Jackie's got a few little one-liners and comedic gems in there. And she becomes definitely more snarky, of course, as season one goes, which culminates in the tragic loss of Jackie Taylor, RIP. I really liked her sentiments about doom coming. And I actually wore my doom coming shirt today just in honor of this very quote. Let's
drink rotten berries and...
Yep. Tomorrow night, we'll drink rotten berries and celebrate our impending death. I just think I love that line. I feel like I wish I had that quote on a shirt because I love it. I was here for it. And another Jackie moment, not a quote, but when Van tells her after they get out of the plane, you know, oh, you're really on fire today, Jackie, or whatever. And Van's like, no, that was supposed to be me. Remember, you left me on the plane. I thought that was really funny. I mean,
I also really like the scene in the pilot where she goes down the line and she tells all the girls something nice about themselves.
Oh, that is a really good Jackie gem. Yeah. I like that. And you know what? Speaking of Jackie gems, if you guys want to buzz over to like Twitter and do hashtag Jackie gem and then drop your favorite Jackie moment, let's get some Ella Purnell love going out there on X. And you know what? I say Twitter, you know I mean X. I just hate calling it X because I think it's stupid.
I will never call it X.
It's just out loud. It's just really dumb. It's dumb. Yeah. And Kim is here saying it's really funny when she says, what the fuck even is a rabbit? And what is she says something about it being like a bunny Jackie with a just furry adored tail.
Rabbits.
Yep. And then of course her mom's obsessed with, you know, giving Shauna the rabbits, thinking she loves them, which is highly hilarious. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
I loved Jackie's character. And the interesting thing is we've talked about this before. Will we see Ghost Jackie again? Because she's the star of a new show now.
I hope so. I want to. I feel like it would, like, to do it in the first season, like, that was my first indicator that Jackie was dead. Like, when Shauna saw her on the bridge before she jumped into the water with Adam. But, like, We saw her imagining Jackie being alive when she was with Jackie's corpse, but we haven't seen her physically see Jackie like since then, like as a teenager. So I want to see the first time that happens.
Right. And to see the first time it happens, that would require Ella Purnell to be back
for
filming. So I just am not optimistic that will happen. And like I've said, I would be more inclined to think that maybe Shauna starts seeing Ghost Adam instead because he's the latest person on her conscience. And maybe that's something that they could do. But then you need to get, you know, the actor who played Adam to come back and be available as well. So, you know, it's tricky with schedules. And then, of course, we have the strikes, all these different things that delayed filming. And I don't know.
Finally starts next month. Like a month from now.
Cannot wait for filming to start. And, you know, I mean, we've got the bonus episode looming somewhere. Of course, Ashley Lyle said it will be closer to season 3. So we're hoping for a Q4 of 2024 bonus episode drop, followed by a Q1 season 3 Yellow Jackets premiere.
Yes. That is all I want for Christmas this year is Yellow Jackets to premiere before February.
Oh my God. How fun was our Christmas 12 Days of Yellow Jackets video?
That was so fun.
Yeah, that was a really good time. And you know what, Kim, like all of us, cannot wait to see their marketing this season because another thing that we've said, Paramount's marketing team is genius.
Yeah.
They are so smart. Showtime just absolutely nailed every single thing they did, you know, in terms of the marketing and the merch drops and everything. So I'm excited. Oh, you know what? I better send them my new address because I'm moving. I gotta make sure they have my new address. Gonna add that to my to-do list. Make sure I'm not missing any, you know, Yellow Jackets drops. And you know who I wanted to shout out as well is James Shaw, our friend on Twitter or on Instagram. I'm sorry. He's I'm James Shaw. And along with one of our other very generous patrons who gave away a set of Yellow Jackets Funkos. Very nice, by the way. Thank you. He also donated a set for us to give away and actually got one of them signed by Jasmine. She signed her Funko for our winner, Joe, who will be receiving it. And Joe, thank you for your patience because it's taken a bit, but the payoff is going to be so worth it. I mean, not many people have a signed Thaisa Funko Pop. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. I'm so happy for him. And he's so excited.
Oh my God. It's so cool. And just more gratitude, right? We say this all the time, how grateful we are for the Hive, for our patrons, for all of the friends we've made. And there's a lot of them. I mean, we've connected with so many people and it's just been really great building this community. And we just cannot say enough how much we appreciate you guys for watching and listening, chiming in on our social, everything. So seriously, thank you guys.
The support really is, it's awesome.
We appreciate it
so much.
We do. And we love talking about Yellow Jackets, talking about TV, and we're going to be back with some more Fallout chat. So
we hope you're
going to come for it.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, okay. One more thing. I know you were just going to do until we spoke, but I wanted to preview a couple of upcoming shows this month that look really good. Under the Bridge.
Yes.
It stars Lily Gladstone.
Yes. I'm so excited for that.
Yes. And Riley Keough is also in it from Daisy Jones and the Six. And it looks really good. It's going to be on Hulu. It's like one of those kind of dark mystery true crime series. Yeah. I believe that one drops April 17th. And then on April 30th, The Veil with Elizabeth Moss from Handmaid's Tale. And she plays kind of like a badass international spy, looks mysterious, action-packed. And Elizabeth Moss is one of my favorites. I mean,
she's great.
Love Mad Men. Handmaid's Tale is just beyond.
You still need to watch The Invisible Man.
I do need to watch The Invisible Man. I was just working on some horror movie blurbs for cord cutting for this thing that they're doing. And The Invisible Man was on the list. And I was like, man, I should have already watched it. Then I could have done my blurb on it. Just I should have listened to Emily.
It's good.
But I'm going to put it on the list. I feel like it's going to be a little hectic this next week or two.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
Yeah. And I need to watch Game of Thrones because
I told you I would watch with you.
I know. I need to get on it. We have Lucia in the comments saying, I thought Equinox was good if you like folk horror.
I've not heard of that.
Yeah, I'll have to scope it out. But this was fun. It's always nice talking about other shows, especially ones that star our Yellow Jackets cast. So thanks for tuning in.
Yes. So until we spill again.